Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Vernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
I ask you to see something tonight. I want to share something with you, and I'd like you to use your imagination. I don't want to hypnotize you. I don't believe in that. But I would like you to use your imagination. I would like you to see this because it's real. It really happened. And I'd like you to be able to see it, that you will get some idea. We will return to the trial. People are angry, they're yelling, they're accusing, talking about Jesus and this supposed crime that he has dared to call himself the Messiah. Jesus will not defend himself tonight. He will not say a word because of what is written. For he has earlier answered the question in Matthew 11 and 4. Because in Matthew 11 and 4, he said, the blind have received their sight, the lame now walk, those who have leprosy have been cured, the dead have been raised, the deaf hear, the good news has been preached unto the poor, and blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Now the religious right leaders, they have the right to hold trial for one of their own. The Romans have given them that right. And they can hold one of their own who is accused of minor offenses, what we would call a misdemeanor. But they do not have the right to sentence anyone to death. They don't have that right. For this they must go to the Romans who rule the land. This too was spoken of in the Torah, Psalm 2. We read it, remember? So this criminal Jesus was turned in by a member of his own group. One who claimed to be loyal to him. His name was Judas Iscariot. This also was a fulfillment of the Scriptures. This had to happen. By this time, they have taken Jesus, they have spit on him, they have slapped him, and they have punched him now with their closed fists. For his part, Jesus stands silent in the midst of them, not making a move to defend himself. And in all of this, Jesus knows that the worst is yet to come. Now, I guarantee you right here and now, I wouldn't do it because he's bigger than me, but if I walk back to this cameraman and I spit in his face and I punch him just as hard as I could right between the eyes, he would definitely say something. We would not be able to record what he said, but he would have something to say. Jesus never said a word. And now they came to Jesus, and they held their hands, and they took him on either side of his head by his ears, and they smacked him. You ever seen that done to a prisoner of war? You ever seen that? You know what happens? Blood starts pouring out. Your hearing's gone instantly. Both eardrums have just been busted. They've been blowing up from the inside. The blood is pouring out. I want you to picture Jesus. Picture him. Use your imagination. The devil got you to use it enough when you were unsaved. Use it a little bit for God. The blood is pouring down. They have punched him with their fists. And the blood is now, we talk to doctors. The doctors tell me that by this point, The blood would be pouring profusely from his ears and from his eyes and from his mouth and from his nose. Blood is pouring profusely. Now, you can't see his shirt no more because it's blood. It's just, you know how blood runs. It's just all over. He's just solid blood. He's a mess. And he's not said a word. Because as bad as it is, and as painful as it is, the worst is yet to come. Now they bind him up again, tie him up, and they take him over to Pontius Pilate. He's a dandy. He's one of the head Romans there. He's got the power to put him to death. And that's what they want him to do. Well, Pontius Pilate begins to talk to him, and Jesus doesn't answer him. Well, about all that does is aggravate Pilate, because he's not the kind of a man you don't answer. He thinks very highly of himself. And when Jesus didn't answer him, he called for his soldiers, and he said, "He refuses to answer me. Soften him up." So they begin to soften him up. But I want you to understand how they soften him up. You just read it in the scriptures. You can go back and read it again. You can get a copy of the tape. They come up to Jesus. Remember, everybody had a beard. Or the men did. Well, maybe some of the women did too, I don't know. But the men all had a beard. Men had a beard and long hair. And they went up to Jesus and they grabbed handfuls of his beard and they ripped it out. I want you to picture that for a minute in your mind. Just picture that. You got a guy with a beard and they come up and they grab a handful and it's not just the hair, but it's the flesh that's holding it. And they rip it out. They rip out a huge hole in his face. Got a big hole in his face. Where his face used to be, is kind of like raw hamburger in there now. And the blood is just pouring out. You got all this blood. Now mixed in with all this other blood. And they pull it out in little gobs all over. And the blood is pouring out. And Jesus, he says not a word. He remains silent. For he knows the worst is yet to come. Now Jesus is taken back. He's taken back to Pilate. This is the beginning of the darkest hour that the earth will ever know. The earth, this planet that we live on, we'll never see a darker time. They get him back there. Now, Pilate really doesn't want to put him to death. He knows he hasn't done anything. He knows that they're handing him over for jealousy. But they threaten Pilate, and they say, "Look, if you don't put him to death, we're going to tell Herod that you're honoring another god rather than him." And that scares Pilate. So he does his little thing. He has him bring him out some water and he washes his hands and he says, "I'm clean of this." Oh, my God in heaven, do I want to be there in judgment? When they bring out some water and say, "Here, moron, wash them again." in front of Jesus. Wash them again. And look in those eyes of fire. And tell them, you're clean now. But he did it. The Roman guards come down. And they do something now. They begin to grab Jesus by the hair. And they rip out gobs of his hair. Can you picture this, please, in your mind? Pictures, you got to see it. You see nothing else, see this. You got a man, the blood is pouring profusely out of his ears, out of his eyes, out of his nose, out of his mouth. There's big hunks of where the flesh has been ripped out of his face, his neck, where the beard used to be, back. All over his head, where his hair used to be, big hunks ripped out. Blood pouring down profusely. Jesus has not said a word. Not a word. Now the medical doctors tell me that there is no way anybody should be able to survive this without passing out, without fainting, without going out. But the word of the Lord, you read it with me, you can go back and read it again. God, the Father, put his hand on Jesus, said, no, my son, you must bear this. You must bear this. You can't pass out. You got to bear this. You got to be awake for all of it. Then they make Jesus the cross. And while they're making him this cross, who, by the way, is not made out of a couple of sanded 2x4s that you buy down at Lowe's. This is rough wood that they nailed together with them big square nails. And while they're making them that cross, some other guys go and they build a crown of thorns. Those are Judean thorns. For those of you who have never seen them, I've got some at home. They run from, about an inch long, anywhere up to about 3 inches long. I mean, these are big, thick, heavy, sharp thorns. And now they come to Jesus, who is nothing but blood, and they get a board or something so they don't get their little pinkies hurt, and they put this crown of thorns upon his head, and they push it down. They push it down on what used to be flesh. It's just hamburger now. They push it down right into his brain cavity. He should have went out, but the Father said, no. You've got to stay awake. You've got to stay awake for this. You've got to go through this whole thing. And they give him this cross. But he only goes a little ways, and then they stop in this courtyard. And they have this huge cement pillar in this courtyard. Now, this is the most important part. In this courtyard, they've got some handcuffs, if you would, that come around the top, a big round thing. And they got handcuffs that come around the top of it. Now, Jesus is a big man, but they put him up there, and the thing is just a little bit bent. So he's a little bit bent with his arms tied to this cement pillar. You got the picture? This is the way he looks. He's tied to the cement pillar. And he's got this crown of thorns beat into his skull. And then they call out the Roman beater, the Roman soldier who was an expert in this. This is all he did. He was the best there was at it. His arms were built like Popeye with the huge biceps and all of the strength. And he comes out, and now it's time for him to do his job. Nobody but nobody makes it through what he's about to do. Nobody has made it through before. And he's not intending on anybody to make it through tonight. Because he takes a cat of nine tails. I don't know if you've ever seen one, but here's what they are. They got a handle on them about this long. And then they got nine little tails of like leather, sheep's leather, cow's leather, whatever, running out. And then every few inches on that, they have strapped on there a broken piece of pottery or a sharp piece of rock or flint or whatever they could find that was sharp and some horrible form of weapon and little pieces of swords and shovels and whatever they could get tied on there. And he's got all nine tails of that, every half inch or so, one of these is tied on. And they've got Jesus strapped to this post, there's nothing he can do. But remember he said, I gave my back to him. I didn't fight him. I gave my back to him. Now this Roman soldier comes up, and this I want you to see. You gotta see this. If you don't see anything else, see this. He's an expert at what he does. He's good. And he takes them big, strong arms of Popeye. And he takes that cat of nine tails, and he swings back with all he's got, and he lets it go. And when it hits Jesus, it wraps around him. And this Roman soldier knows just when. For he waits until them tails wrap right around. Until every little bit of pottery, till every little bit of broken rock, till every little bit of metal, whatever it is sunk into the flesh. And just as everything is sunk into the flesh, then he grabs it with the other hand, and with both hands he yanks back with all the power he's got. And you know what he does? He rips off all of the flesh. Yeah, he just ripped off all of the flesh. And then he does it again. And as it wraps around and as him pieces of metal and pottery and everything dig in, as they dig in, then he yanks it back again. And he yanks the rest of the flesh off. And he goes from side to side. And he goes from top to bottom. Now, medical doctors have taken deceased people, and they have actually done this. They have actually put them on a pillar. They have actually taken a cat of nine tails. They have actually beaten them that way. And you can read it. You can go to the library. It's a whole lot of books that got it. They say less than 10 lashes, less than 10, on less than 10 lashes, they could find no more flesh on that body. From the bottom of the ankles to way up here at the shoulders, back and front, they could find no flesh. That was less than 10 blows. Jesus took a whole lot more. And do you know them blows? When they hit, they tore everything off. They tore the flesh, and they tore the muscles, and they tore the sinews in there. They tore everything in there. And any normal man would have been screaming at the top of his lungs, but Jesus said not a word. because he knew the worst was yet to come. And now they throw that cross over his back. And like I say, that's not made out of sanded 2x4. And they start him down the road to Golgotha. And the Word of God says along the way that Jesus fell. Well, when he fell, he did not fall on blacktop and concrete and all of this nice grass we have out here. No, he fell on gravel and rock and broken pavement. And that's where they all went. See, because there was no skin to protect anything. They went right up into his flesh. They went up into where his muscles used to be. They went up into where the shunos used to be. They went up into where the blood vessels used to be. That was all covered with mud and rock and everything that could get in there. And on his back and on his head, all the way down, he was covered. They've actually done this. He was covered with anywhere from 1/2 to 5.5-inch slivers up and down his back, legs, knees, all over. And they get him to this spot on Calvary. They lay him down on a cross and they drive nails in his wrists and in his feet. And I cannot imagine this. And my imagination won't even grasp this. I've been in a lot of pain in my life, but I can't understand this. And yet Jesus says not a word, because the worst is yet to come. But now he sees it start to come. They pick him up on this cross, and they drop this cross in a hole in the ground that they have dug for it. And it falls in there, and all of Jesus' weight now falls and rests on those nails that he is nailed in with. And still, Jesus is not saying a word. But next, the next thing to happen is something that you and I cannot understand. And we will not understand it until we stand before God and have the mind of Christ. But the Scripture says that it happened. We don't understand it, but it happened. Because God the Father looked down and he looked down from Adam and Eve until the last man and woman that would ever live. And he's seen all of the hurt that would ever come upon the earth. He's seen all of the hurt that would come because of adultery. He's seen the wives and the husbands crying because of adultery. He's seen all of the divorces that would come, and all of the tears and all of the pain. He's seen all of the homeless and all of the little children who would be abandoned and left, and they couldn't understand, but they could hurt. And he's seen it all. He's seen every little girl who looked up and seen her daddy walk into her room at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning And she knew what was coming, and there was nothing she could do about it. She just hurt. And Jesus seen all that hurt. And the Father seen all that hurt. There is so much hurt upon this earth, the doctors tell me that if you, right now, if somehow you could take all of the hurt you have had in your life, you wouldn't want to, but if you could take all of the hurt you've ever had, put it all together at once, and take it all at once, all of the hurt you've ever had, take it all at once, it would kill you. But the Word of God said the Father took all of the hurt that would ever be upon the entire earth, all the hurt that anyone would ever know for anything, took all of the hurt. He put it together all at once, and He dumped it upon Jesus all at once. And Jesus knew that the worst was yet to come.
And now some previews from Pastor Bernier's next program.
He took every case of cancer, every case of polio, every case of AIDS. He took every case of tonsillitis, croup, every case of every illness, disease this earth would ever know. And there's a million of them I never even heard of, but God took them all. All the sleeping sickness, all of the malaria, all of the diseases, everything. He took all of those diseases all over the world, all the AIDS, everything. He brought them all together into one. And He laid them upon Jesus. All at once He laid them upon Jesus. And Jesus didn't say a word. Because He knew the worst was yet to come.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time for the alarm call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.